message notes from last week. Open your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, whatever your form is, print or digital, that we might go before our Lord and hear from Him as to what He would have to say to us this morning. If you're new with us, we don't simply have a time that's a Bible study. It is a time for us to richly embrace the very breath of God as He would speak to us as individuals. As the Spirit of God would come upon us, hopefully in a fresh way, to challenge us, to move forward in such a way, to bring pleasure and honor to this marvelously awesome and wonderful Heavenly Father who has drawn us to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His wonderful favor, His grace. And we have met this one who has great mercy, and we have received His Son into our lives, not for someday in the future, but to enjoy Him here and now until that day that He chooses to call us home, to be with Himself for all of eternity. So having said that, this isn't in your notes, but you might want to write it down in an open space in the back of your message notes. Psalm 18, verse 30. And there the psalmist would say this to us. Our Heavenly Father uses this person to say to you and to me this morning, God's way is perfect. Let me say it again for those of us that are struggling with a spouse or a friend of a family member, someone we work with who is struggling with cancer. Someone who is in the process of losing their home and the prospects of maybe being homeless. Whatever the issue might be, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. And He concludes by saying He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. And many of us right now, we're kind of in a tither. One, because of we wake up each morning, those of you who are close to my age, to a different America. It's not the one I was born into. And we have lost so much of that which made us great. And I'm not preaching a message for John Trump or Donald Trump. He has a point. I wake up to an America that which used to be immoral, because God said it was immoral, is now moral. It's okay. And it's not okay. We don't have the right to change the things that our Heavenly Father has said about what is moral and what isn't. So we have an America that is different. We have a church that does not resemble the one of 60 or 70 years ago. We certainly don't have a church that resembles those that we were studying in the first three chapters of Acts. We will go back to that when we finish this important series that our Heavenly Father has been revealing to us. If you want to change yourself, and I'm not talking about change yourself, what I'm saying, if you want change yourself, then it starts with your thinking. It starts with your thinking. If you haven't picked up on what the Apostle Paul has been trying to get across to us through his letters to the Ephesian church. And today, as we will move into Peter's letter, his first letter, we need to see the change that the Lord would like us to see. That America that you and I woke up to this morning is in large part where it is because the church has become what it is. And it is not holy, and it is not following after its bridegroom. That's because there's now two churches in America. One very pronounced that does not honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is one very small, of which we are a part, but not all of us, that does love and choose to honor and obey our Savior. As we will recall in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, the apostle is telling us, if we want to see change, then change your thinking. He says here, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is pure, what is right, what is lovely, what is admirable. And we went through those words because they expand upon what we're supposed to be thinking about as his brothers and sisters, that is to Paul, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. He keeps telling us, putting into practice, show up for practice all you learned and received from me. I don't know if you weren't there for Arvin's graduation from Marine Corps boot camp, but you saw that one slide where they're all lined up, you know, very neatly in four rows, like, you know, like a duck. They all march in unison. They do everything at the same time. Now, it didn't always work that way for me in the beginning. In the first couple weeks, I kept hearing my drill sergeant yelling out, "It's your military left, stupid," as we would march. Left, right, left, right, lip, 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 right, lip. So, never understood why these Southern drill sergeants couldn't say left, but nonetheless. They moved together in unison. That didn't happen the first day of boot camp. It didn't happen the first week of boot camp. They were not all in sync the first 5 weeks of boot camp. But they kept showing up every morning. When reveille sounded at 5 o'clock in the morning, they were flying out the door and they were lining up and they were learning what it took to move as a unit. And that's what our Heavenly Father is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Granada Hills Community Church family. What he keeps impressing upon your shepherd, we got to show up for practice. If we don't show up for practice, then it isn't going to happen. That's just the flat out reality. If we're AWOL, absent without leave, I think they call it something else today. AWOL, but it's something UL or?
A-W-O-L.
No, AWOL was when I was in. Now it's something else. But at any rate, the church is showing up, absent without leave. That's an oxymoron, showing up without being there. And this is what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is breathing out to us from the very mouth of our Heavenly Father. He's saying, look, guys, girls, I want you to be my kids, and I want you to be acting like my kids. So keep putting into practice what you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. And then he went on to Romans 12, remember? And he said, I don't want you to be conformed to the world. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to be rededicating yourselves to me every day, every single day. I want you to take up your cross and follow me every single day. Show up for practice every day. That's what I'm expecting. And on top of that, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I want you to offer yourself. The family we saw, dad, both kids, offered up to the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave their tangible, physical lives here on earth for the glory of Christ. Jesus says to you and to me every morning, I want you to offer yourself to me as a living sacrifice. Is that what we do? I know, brothers, I hope they're my brothers. We're not preaching this. We're not teaching it. Worse yet, most of us aren't even living it. The church needs examples. The church needs to have ears that really penetrate in the listening to the mind and to the heart. We need to be obedient to what we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs, there in your notes, chapter 2, verse 6. Can we read that aloud together? Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Whether you have the printed copy or the digitized copy, this is from his mouth, and it's there for yours and my understanding. It is here that we will find knowledge, wisdom, direction. Our understanding is this part of your life in a significant way. So he tells us, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You see, if this was something that the church at large in America was living out, then we would see less and less of this racial tension that's going on in our country right now. We would see less of this corruption because, you see, more and more of us would be living out these examples before the people. And we'd be speaking up and against these things that are tearing our country apart. Write this down, Proverbs 19, verses 20 and 21. It's kind of interesting. I thought it went 19, 20, 21. Chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. Our Lord shares with us, he says, look, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom for the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You can make all the plans you want, but he's saying the Lord's purposes are going to be that which prevail. And as the children of God, we automatically, are we not, turning our attention to him? And what is it that you want us to do? Well, again, go back to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And as we practice those things, we will learn what it is that the will of the Lord is for us and for others. We'll know that which is good and perfect, even. You can get all the advice and instruction you can now so that you can live the rest of your life in such a way that really honors him. And I know that's what you want. I know that's what you want. In 2 Timothy, if you look at your notes, chapter 1, the beginning of verse 9, he says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. God sent his son. We're going to celebrate his birthday not too many days from now, folks. God sent his son into the world not to have his birthday celebrated, but for us to have knowledge of the Lord, to see him. Tens of thousands got to see him. And he came, and as he came, he brought his salvation by going to the cross for us, pulling out all of your sins and mine upon himself as he hung there on the cross, dying. And he gave his life so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer the pangs that he went through, that the wrath of God would be lifted from us and all those who would embrace him as their Lord and Savior. But he called us to be separated out, to live a holy life. And those who live a holy life, they will not be bigots. They will not be racist. And they will not involve themselves in that which is corrupt. At least not with the amount of participation that takes place now, because we still struggle with our flesh. And if we are not walking in the Spirit, we do not have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit exercising his wonderful power in our lives and over our mouths and over our minds, then we can still slip and fall. I'd like you to write down Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This wasn't part of my first four-page manuscript. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Here the Apostle Paul, he's talking to the Ephesian church family and therefore to us this morning. He's in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel, waiting for Nero to adjudicate his case. And he says, therefore, be imitators, be mimetes. He says, be mimics. Be mimics in character of a particular person. And here he says, I want you to be mimics of God as beloved children, children who have the affections of God. Do you understand that, my brothers and my sisters? You who are in Christ, you have the affections of our Heavenly Father. He loves you. He loves you passionately. He loves you powerfully. He loves you with an unquenchable love. And it says here, we're to be mimics of God as beloved children. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, and walk in love. Live your life demonstrating this agape love. Demonstrate this love. Walk in love as Christ agaped us and gave himself up for us. Paul told us in Philippians, we need to show up to practice, remember? And we need to be remembering the things that we saw and heard and learned from him. And here we are being told by Paul, again, in a different letter, we are to be mimics of our wonderful, holy, righteous, pure, loving Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in love. Live in love as Christ loved us. And then he says, it'll be a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. We need to be doing what Christ did. He went to the cross. He offered himself up as a sacrifice. He gave this generous love to seek your best and greatest good, mine as well, at his expense. And this is exactly what he is saying to you and to me this morning. Just as we watch this family on the screen, we are to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, having been made holy, in other words, set apart, called out by God, for God, and to be used by God for his purposes, not our own. Now, ours might be similar to his or the same as his. But first and foremost, it is to be following him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it's not in your notes. Again, Paul says, I therefore a prisoner of the Lord. And notice he doesn't say, here I am a prisoner of Nero. He's acknowledging God is sovereign in his life. And this is perfect. I'm in prison. I'm chained to a guard, maybe two of them. Here I am, a prisoner of the Lord. And then he says, I therefore urge you, it's parakaleo, it's the term plead. I plead with you to walk, to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He's pleading with the church. Our Heavenly Father is pleading with whoever it is here this morning who isn't walking in a manner, living in a manner worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know who that is. So he says, I want you to walk in a way that you've learned. I want you to walk in a way that you have received. I want you to walk in a way that you have heard. I want you to walk in a way that you have seen in the Apostle Paul. And then he says in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in that agape love. Some of us just aren't perfect yet. And we're to bear with one another. We're to bear with one another in a sacrificial way. How many Christians do you know outside our church that you really consider humble and meek and patient and gentle? You know, there are those that call themselves Christians, and they may be, who live this life, you know, it's my way or the highway, dude. But we're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, in all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, and with this agape love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, also not in your notes, Paul writing to the Colossian church family now and to us, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. I don't know how many years and years and years and years I've gone to church and even since becoming a shepherd, that I wasn't walking in a manner really worthy of the Lord and pleasing him. Most of us live our lives, at least I was living my life, with what I think he wants me to do and the way he wants me to do it. But this is where I really want to go, whether he wants me to go there or not. So we are to be living our lives in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, that is wholly him-centered. It's not being centered on ourselves. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, as we've received him, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. But here he says, therefore, as you received Christ, as you have appropriated Christ the Lord, so walk in him. And these things that we've been being taught so pointedly and wonderfully these last few weeks, rooted and built up in him, we're being conformed to him. We're being transformed by the renewal of our mind to be like Him. Being rooted and built up and established in the faith just as you were taught. Receiving the teaching and abounding in thanksgiving because of it. And then Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Here Paul says, we exhort each one of you, those in the church, we exhort you and encourage you and charge you. His words are to cheer them up. His words are to inspire them and to correct their behavior. And so it is for us. He wants to inspire us. And at the same time, He wants us to see if there is an area of correction that needs to take place in your life or mine. So He says, we exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy, to live in a manner worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. You see, this is wholly other than what I remember being taught. And I went to some good churches, but we would tear the Bible scriptures apart, but never were they meant to be applied to my life. It was like you figure it out on your own. It's like, here's how it all gets said, but there's nothing here that you really need to do something about unless you decide that you want to do something about it. I mean, you could hear all over the auditorium, you know, our notebooks clicking as we're getting ready to take more notes. Oh, we've got those passages all torn apart. We know them grammatically, frontwards and backwards. What are you doing about it? What do you mean? We're just learning the Word of God. Pharisees. Modern day Pharisees. So if you look at your notes, just a thought. GHC Sears start with God our Father. We start with Him. The first step in learning is bowing down to our Abba Father. It's humbling ourselves before our loving, gracious Heavenly Father. And then we remember using Solomon's terms in Proverbs 1:7 about the fool. Only fools, only bus, thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. They don't show up at practice. Now, I don't know any fools that are GHCCers, do you? And if you do, would you keep him or her to yourself? This family in Christ Jesus, our Lord desires to seek the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ in all aspects of our lives. GHC Sears love Jesus preeminently and unreservedly. Get it? Good. Winston S. Churchill, in his writing Wealth, War, and Wisdom, said this. He has all the virtues I dislike and none of the vices I admire. And family, as I need to be bringing this to a close, about five verses too short. I am praying for myself and I am praying for you that this is what the devil and his will be saying about you. That he is saying, those cotton-picking GHCCers have all the virtues I dislike and none of the vices I admire. That's my prayer for us. And that we'll show up for practice. And that obscure little passage in Philippians will become part of your daily readings and be applied in various ways, as only you as an individual can do that. And that you will find yourself offering yourself as a living sacrifice to our Heavenly Father each and every morning, and taking up your cross as his disciple daily and following him. Get it? Good. Let's pray.